This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
I can't believe this.
Ah, won't be for that long.
How can I do this? How can I move back in with those people? Please tell me. They're insane. You know that.
Hey, my parents are just as crazy as your parents.
How can you compare your parents to my parents?
My father has never thrown anything out, ever.
My father wears his sneakers in the pool. Sneakers.
My mother has never set foot in a natural body of water.
Listen carefully. My mother has never laughed, ever. Not a giggle, not a chuckle, not a tee-hee. Never went ha.
Smirk?
Maybe. And I'm moving back in there.
An excerpt of last night's Seinfeld. Seinfeld won 3 Emmys this week, including one for Best Sitcom. And Jerry Seinfeld's book is on the bestseller list. So we thought the time was right to pull together our interviews from the archives with some of the people who've made the show such a success. We'll hear from Jason Alexander, who plays George, and from Larry David, the co-creator and head writer of the show. He wrote last night's episode. First, an interview with Seinfeld himself, recorded in 1987, back in the days when his stand-up routines didn't bracket sitcom episodes. When we spoke, he was best known for his frequent appearances with Johnny Carson and David Letterman. He had just finished making an HBO comedy special in which he talked about his childhood, growing up in a middle-class suburban family, and what it was like being dragged along by his mother on a shopping trip to buy wallpaper.
Mom, can we get out of here already, please? Mom, come on, let's go. They don't have him. The guy talked to the other guy. They don't. No, I don't think they're in the back. I don't even think they have a back here. Let's just get out of here, all right? Of course, when you're a little kid and you get bored, you can't support your body weight at all. You have to really just lie down wherever you are. Your parents, they take you to the bank. That was the classic one. My parents take me to the bank, they turn around from the teller, and I was just flat out on the floor, just can't make it, Mom. And they get so upset. Would you get up off the floor, please? Get up. I can't get up, Mom. It's too dull in here.
What brought back memories like that?
I saw a kid in a store, and I saw that great kid response where you don't think I shouldn't lie down in public. You think, I'm bored, I'm lying down. The kids just do whatever they want, and they're hilarious to me. But I don't really get it, actually, from seeing kids as much as I actually remember it myself. I remember lying down in the store. I remember begging my mother for a dime so I could sit on a metal horse that vibrates.
I remember all of that stuff, too. I remember how really boring it was to be taken from store to store and to the bank. You're very funny about the bank, about why do people go to banks?
Yeah, and you're so low down, you know, you can't see anything. You know, you just see, like, the price tags hanging off the sleeves of the shirts, and everyone else is enjoying shopping, and you're just looking at all these stanchions and aluminum things that hold everything up, and
I'm so short, my life is still like that.
The bank, especially those teller things, I always looked at, what is going on up there, you know? But I remember it. I don't know. I have, like, youth recall, I guess.
When you started doing your material, were you ever worried that your parents would come and hear your act and they'd be a little insulted? We didn't know he was bored when we took him to the bank.
Yes, I was petrified when they first saw me. Well, also because I wasn't really funny as a kid, and I felt like I was, you know, exposing this alter ego, you know. Plus, here I am getting up on stage and manipulating these people, you know, into laughing. It's a power thing, you know, and it's weird to do it in front of your parents. Because in front of your parents, you always want them to have the power. And then all of a sudden, you get up in this, you know, very controlling situation. I mean, a comedian is basically a very aggressive thing to do. You force people to see things your way so powerfully they react audibly. They actually, you force them to react, to look at things the way I look at them and laugh at it when I say to.
When you put it in power terms, it becomes a very potentially arrogant thing to say, I'm good enough, I'm going to stand up here and make everybody laugh.
Absolutely.
They can all see it my way.
Yeah.
What made you think that you could do it and that being a stand-up comic wasn't a totally absurd and ridiculous idea?
I didn't think I could do it. I thought this is a totally absurd and ridiculous idea. But that's exactly what I thought. And I said, but I have to try it. I have to try it. I just, because I thought this is the pinnacle of life to me. If you could do this, you know, if you could stand up on stage and make people laugh, that would be the ultimate accomplishment of my personality. And I just thought laughs, to be working with laughs and jokes all the time, what a fun life that would be.
Did you pay your dues playing bars and clubs where you were totally ignored?
I'm still paying them, Terry.
Are you really?
I worked a club last year where the waitress, to get to her tables, had to step up on the stage and walk between me and the audience. And people think I'm embellishing this story. She had to stand up on stage. She'd walk between me and the audience. She'd get the drink order, back up on stage, back in front of me and the audience. This was in Ohio. Where in Ohio? I can't even remember.
Are audiences more willing to go along with you after they've seen you on TV?
You get a free 90 seconds when people have seen you on TV and they know who you are. You get up on stage. For the first 90 seconds, I would say, to 3 minutes, they'll laugh at just about anything you say. And then it's right back to where you've always been when you were a complete unknown.
So it doesn't help too much.
No, people don't laugh because they recognize you. You know, they do at first, but they don't. After, it wears off pretty quick. You know, you've got to be funny every night.
How do you work on your routine? You have some ideas, but you've really got to put it together into a good routine, a good bit.
I get an idea, and I think there's something funny about that, and I don't know what it is at first. This is how my stuff usually works. Like, I saw, you know, like McDonald's having a sign that says 60 billion. And I think, now that's, you know, there's something very funny about that. That a company of that size is still counting every burger. You know, I mean, there's some kind of insecurity there that you're still thinking, how well, are we doing well? We're doing well. Aren't we doing well? Look at how many we've sold, you know. And I don't know, you know, who really cares besides them? And besides which, what is their ultimate goal? You know, if 60 billion is not enough, I mean, do they want cows surrendering, just voluntarily showing up and going, we give up. You've sold so many burgers, we're turning ourselves in. So I don't know. So I look at things, I go, what's funny about that? But like in my show, I talk about Tide being improved. That's a classic kind of joke that I like to do. Now, why would a comedian look at Tide detergent being improved and think that's funny? To me, you know, comedians generally talk about dating or something, but why are they improving Tide? You know, it's just things I have to think about. Does anyone care? So
why are they improving Tide?
They want it. It's getting out bloodstains now. And I think if you got a T-shirt with bloodstains on it, maybe laundry isn't your biggest problem. Maybe you ought to get rid of the body first before you do the wash.
Jerry Seinfeld, recorded in 1987. We'll hear from the co-creator of the sitcom Seinfeld after this break. This is Fresh Air. Jerry Seinfeld co-created his sitcom with Larry David, who's also the show's head writer and executive producer. David just won an Emmy for what was probably the most talked about episode of Seinfeld, in which the characters have a contest to see who can go the longest without masturbating. David has also written very funny episodes about the typical annoyances of daily life, like searching for your car in a shopping mall garage while you desperately need the bathroom, or going to a party, against your better judgment, where you're stuck making endless small talk and you can't leave because you're waiting for a ride home. In this episode, Seinfeld's car was stolen, so he had to rent a car.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have no midsize available at the moment.
I don't understand. I made a reservation. Do you have my reservation?
Oh, yes, we do. Unfortunately, we ran out of cars.
But the reservation keeps the car here. That's why you have the reservation.
I know why we have reservations.
I don't think you do. If you did, I'd have a car. See, you know how to take the reservation, you just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding. Anybody can just take them.
Let me speak with my supervisor.
You'd think that the TV show Seinfeld came directly from Jerry Seinfeld's life. But do the stories really come from writer Larry David's life? At the end of 1991, I asked Larry David.
I would say for the most part, probably that's true, yes.
Is there a character that you feel is closest to you?
Well, George is pretty much based on me.
Describe the character for our listeners who haven't
seen
the show.
Except I'm a lot sicker than George is.
More neurotic? Wow.
Yes. I would love to have George's life. Describe George's character?
Yeah.
Well, he's just a person who has difficulty in getting up in the morning and putting his clothes on. And starting from there, everything else is a problem for him, particularly women.
Yes, this
having
is
a relation.
This is the kind of guy who, when he finally gets to go home with a woman who he's really interested in, he finds out that the bathroom's right next to the bedroom, and he has a nervous stomach, and the whole thing is horribly embarrassing, so he has to leave.
So he leaves, exactly, yeah.
Did this come out of your life?
I have to say, yes, it did come out of my life. And I did leave, yeah. But I managed to patch things up with her the next day.
You explain?
I never really got into detail about it, no, but I did patch things up.
Now, Jerry Seinfeld seems pretty unneurotic for a comic.
Yes, that's true. That's true. He's an anomaly, Seinfeld is. And I don't know how he got that way. I would switch places with him in a second.
But he wouldn't, right? That's what's holding the switch up.
No, he wouldn't. No.
So how do you and Jerry Seinfeld know each other?
We know each other from doing stand-up. Jerry and I met probably around 1976 or 77 in one of the clubs. And we became very good acquaintances.
How did you get hooked up doing the show together?
Well, Jerry approached me in a nightclub in one of the comedy clubs in New York and told me that NBC was interested in doing a show with him. Not necessarily a show, actually, a special. And we went to a coffee. We had a cup of coffee and talked about a couple of things and came up with this idea.
What was the idea as you originally described it to the network?
The idea was that it was an idea for the special, which would be a 90-minute special. A few years ago, once a month, when Saturday Night Live wasn't on, they were doing 90-minute shows. I think they're doing wrestling or something. And they wanted Seinfeld to do one of those Saturday nights for 90 minutes. And we came up with the idea that he would be going on The Tonight Show. His manager books him on The Tonight Show, and the show would be in a couple of weeks. And he doesn't have any new material to do on the show, so we were going to see how he came up with his material for this Tonight Show spot. And then at the end of the special, he would actually do the material on The Tonight Show, and that was the idea for the special. And that is what eventually has evolved into this.
Well, in each episode of Seinfeld, we still see Seinfeld doing some of his stand-up act, which is
right.
Usually related in some way to what's been happening to him through the episode.
Right. Basically, the premise of the show is still that we see how Jerry comes up with his material.
How do you work out the differences between the real Jerry Seinfeld and the Jerry Seinfeld character on TV? They have the same name, but I'm sure they're not the same person.
Well, to tell you the truth, they're very close to the same person. Generally, Jerry doesn't do anything on television that he wouldn't do in life. Well, I guess that's not true if I really thought about the shows, but for the most part, they're pretty close. I don't think Jerry would be able to tell you the difference. I can't.
Well, that must be hard to write for, because you could come up with an idea that would be a lot of fun, but Seinfeld could say, yes, but it's not really me.
Well, that happens all the time. I could give you a couple of examples of that.
Yeah, why don't you?
Well, for example, last year we did a show where they were in a restaurant having dinner, and a menu caught on fire at the next table. And the manager came over to the table and said, "What happened?" And George explained to the manager that the busboy left the menu too close to the candle. A few minutes later, the busboy got a dressing down from the manager and was fired. And then that really started the show, because then George felt that he was responsible for getting the busboy fired. So he had to go to the busboy's apartment, at which point he left the door open and the cat escaped. Well, that idea was initially for Jerry. But Jerry felt like it just, he wouldn't go to the busboy's house, whereas George would go to the busboy's house. You know, little things like that happen all the time.
Why not change the character's name so it's Jerry Schmidt or something, not Jerry Seinfeld, so that he wouldn't have to feel that it has to be him?
Jerry has such an aversion to acting, I think, that he just wants to be himself. And I don't think he could do it if we changed his name.
Larry David is my guest, head writer and executive producer of Seinfeld. Now, you used to do stand-up.
Yes, that's true.
When did you start doing it, and what was your act like?
I started doing it in 1975, and it's hard to describe what my act was like, because very often I would leave in the middle of it. As soon as I saw somebody in the audience just make a face or somebody talk to the person next to them, I would become infuriated and throw the microphone down and leave.
That was it? You just not
and
come
I would,
back?
I would get in fights with the audience if they weren't laughing. I was like the McEnroe of comedy. I couldn't stand adversity. Yeah, but that's pretty much what would happen. I would be in the middle of a show, and I would just walk off.
So with a reputation like that, who would hire you?
Nobody. And see, no one. No one would hire me. But I did, I was able to perform at the showcase clubs. Because they liked me. They didn't care if I walked off.
They probably weren't paying you anyways, right?
That's exactly the point.
Right.
Yeah, they weren't.
Why would you walk off? Why were you so easily discouraged when somebody wouldn't laugh or would heckle?
Because I'm a baby. I'm a big baby, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand like losing. It was like winning and losing. And if I lost to the audience, I couldn't take it. I would throw the board over.
Well, did you ever kill on stage?
Oh yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah, very, very often, in fact.
And you'd complete those sets?
Those I would complete, yeah. And that was always an exhilarating feeling for me. And I'm going to do it again, too, so.
You can do stand-up again?
Yes.
Soon?
As soon as the show's over, I think.
So what was your act like?
It wasn't anything like Jerry's. First of all, it was completely disjointed, very eclectic. I would talk about a lot of really, really personal things and also a lot of farcical, absurd things. And I can't really say what it was about. It was mostly about me, I guess.
Give me a sense of something really personal that you'd reveal about yourself in the act.
Do you want me to tell you something?
Sure.
Oh, gee. Oh, I don't know. I guess, impotency, maybe. Not that I'm impotent now, but perhaps I would talk about an experience that I had. Things like that.
Well, this helps give me a sense of why you'd walk off. I mean, really, if you're revealing things that are pretty personal and somewhat embarrassing and somebody doesn't laugh, I could see why you might want to leave.
Oh, so you could understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, there you go.
Yeah, because a lot of comics aren't that personal.
No, well, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe my act. I don't really know what it was. It was a lot of the things that you see on the show, too, also. A lot of the situations would... you could find in my act, I think.
So, when did you decide that you wanted to do comedy?
When I got out of college, I took a few acting classes, and I was so bad as an actor. I was such a terrible actor but I was making people laugh with my asides that, they were encouraging me to become a comedian.
What gave you the confidence to get up on stage? It sounds like you're not the most confident guy.
No, I had no confidence to go up on stage, and I still don't have any confidence to go up on stage. And I am not the most confident guy, you're right. But I had nothing in my life. There was nothing else that I was capable of doing. And I was really perhaps on the verge of becoming a homeless person at some point, so I felt like I had nothing to lose. So I got up there. I put a gun to my head and got up there is what I did.
So you were saying that you might do comedy again when the show ends.
Yes, yes, I might. I might. I'm considering it.
Do you think you'd have a more confident attitude if you did comedy again?
No, not at all. I don't think so. I don't think it makes a difference. I watch Jerry. It's, you know, it's like he could be talking to you, and then all of a sudden he's talking to them. With me, if I know I'm going on that night, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I start thinking about it, and you can't even talk to me for the whole day. I don't have an appetite, and it takes a lot of mental energy for me to prepare myself to go up there.
Larry David, thanks a lot for talking with us. And if I ever get the chance to see you perform live, I'll be sure to laugh.
Yeah, either that or bring your earplugs or a bulletproof vest or something. Well, thanks very much. I enjoyed it.
Larry David is the head writer, co-creator, and executive producer of the sitcom Seinfeld. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.